Chapter 75. Stenzeth watched the waves lap over the barge's number two hold, leaving just the number one hold and bow section still above water. Why the barge hadn't yet headed for the bottom, he couldn't say, but he knew her time was short. He turned his gaze to the haggard men lining the rail with looks of pleading desperation in their eyes. Like Dahlgren, he was shocked to count so many men step out of the storage hold. The blatant attempt at mass murder by the crew of the icebreaker astounded him. What sort of animal was commanding the tow ship? His fears turned toward the safety of his own men. When the barge went under, he knew it would turn into an ugly free-for-all as the castaway men tried to climb aboard the tender. He couldn't risk swamping the already overloaded boat and sending his own men to their grave. He kept the tender at a safe distance from the barge, wondering how he could get Dahlgren off without the rest of the men trying to climb aboard with him. He spotted Dahlgren talking to two men, one of whom pointed toward the flooded stern of the barge. Dahlgren then stepped to the rail and shouted for Stenzeth to approach. The captain eased the tender up the barge just beneath Dahlgren, keeping a wary eye on the other men. But none of them rushed the boat as Dahlgren climbed aboard.
"Captain, please head to the stern of the barge, about 200 feet back. Quickly," Dahlgren urged.
Stenzeth turned the tender around and cruised past its sinking hulk toward the hidden stern. He didn't notice Dahlgren pull off his boots and strip down to his underwear before pulling his parka back on.
"They had two Zodiacs stowed aft," he shouted by way of explanation.
Little good they would do now, Stenzeth thought. They've either drifted off or are tied to the deck 40 feet underwater. He noticed Dahlgren standing in the bow, pointing his flashlight toward something bobbing in the water.
"Over there," he urged.
Stenzeth guided the tender toward a number of dark objects floating on the surface. They were two pair of conical-shaped protrusions that bobbed in unison several feet apart. Drawing closer, Stenzeth recognized them as the tapered pontoon ends of a pair of Zodiac boats. The two inflatable boats were standing on end under the water, their bows affixed by a common line to the barge below.
"Anybody have a knife?" Dahlgren asked.
"Jack, you can't go in the water," Stenzeth exhorted, realizing that Dahlgren had stripped off his clothes. "You'll die of exposure."
"I ain't planning a long bath," he grinned in reply.
The chief engineer had a folding knife and pulled it out of his pocket and handed it to Dahlgren.
"A little closer, please, Captain," Dahlgren asked, slipping out of his parka.
Stenzeth inched the tender to within a few feet of the Zodiacs, then cut the throttle. Dahlgren stood in the bow, flipped open the knife, then without hesitation took a deep breath and dove over the side. An expert diver, Dahlgren had dived in cold seas all over the world, but nothing had prepared him for the shock of immersion into 28-degree water. 1,000 nerve endings instantly convulsed in pain. His muscles tensed and an involuntary gasp of air burst from his lungs. His entire body froze rigid from the shock, ignoring the commands from his brain to move. A panic sensation then took hold, urging him to immediately head for the surface. Dahlgren had to fight the instinct while forcing his dead limbs to move. Slowly he overcame the shock, mentally forcing his body to swim. He had no flashlight, but he didn't need one in the black water. Brushing a hand against one of the Zodiac's hulls gave him all the guidance he needed. Kicking forcefully, he descended several feet along the hull before feeling it angle inward toward the prow. Using his fingers to see, he reached beyond the bow until grazing the threads of the taut bowline. Grasping it with his free hand, he pulled and kicked his way down the line, searching for the mooring point to both Zodiacs. The exposure to the frigid water quickly began to slow down his motor skills, and he had to will himself to keep descending. 20 feet below the Zodiac, he reached the barge, his hands sliding against a large cleat that was securing the lines to both boats. He immediately attacked the first line with the knife, sawing furiously to break it. The blade was not sharp, however, and it took him several seconds before he cut the line free and it jerked toward the surface. Reaching for the second line, his lungs began to ache from holding his breath while the rest of his body turned numb. His body signaled him to let go of the line and kick to the surface, but his inner determination refused to listen. Shoving the knife forward until it met the line, he sawed the blade back and forth with all his remaining energy. The line broke with a twang that was audible underwater.
Mimicking the other inflatable, the second Zodiac shot to the surface like a rocket, arching completely out of the water before splashing down onto its hull. Dahlgren missed most of the ride, being jerked only a foot or two toward the surface before losing his grip on the line. The momentum propelled his ascent, though, and he broke the surface, gasping for air as he flailed to stay afloat with his frozen limbs. The tender was on him instantly as three sets of arms reached over and plucked him from the water. He was briskly rubbed dry with an old blanket, then dressed in multiple layers of shirts and long underwear contributed by his fellow crew members. Lastly wedged into his parka and boots, he stared wide-eyed at Stenzith while shivering incessantly.
"That's one cold pond," he muttered. "Don't care to try that again."
Stenzith wasted no time, whipping the tender alongside the Zodiacs until their bow lines could be grabbed, then he gunned the motor. With the Zodiacs bounding in tow, the tender shot across the open expanse of water toward the rapidly diminishing bow structure. The water level had crept partway across the number one hold hatch cover, yet the big vessel still refused to let go. The captives were huddled forward of the hold, certain that the tender had left them to die. When the outboard motor suddenly grew louder, they peered into the darkness with anxious hope. Seconds later, the tender appeared out of the gloom with the two empty Zodiacs in tow. A few of the men began to cheer, and then more joined in, until the barge erupted in an emotionally charged howl of gratitude. Stenzith drove the tender right up the face of the number one hold, skidding to a halt as the two Zodiacs rushed alongside. As the haggard men quickly climbed in, Murdoch stepped over to the tender. "God bless you," he said, addressing the entire crew.
"You can thank that frozen Texan up front as soon as he stops shivering," Stenzith said. "In the meantime, I suggest we both get away from this behemoth before she sucks us all under."
Murdoch nodded and stepped over to one of the Zodiacs. The inflatable boats were filled in no time and quickly pushed away from the barge. With flooded motors and no paddles, they were at the mercy of the tender for propulsion. One of the Narwhal's crew tossed a tow line to one of the Zodiacs, while the other inflatable tied on in tandem. The three boats drifted off the sinking barge before Stenzith took up the slack and engaged the outboard motor. There was no lingering or emotional farewell to the dying barge, which had represented only misery to its men held captive. The three small boats plowed east, quickly leaving the stricken vessel behind in the fog. With nary a gurgle, the Black Leviathan, its holds nearly filled to the top, silently slipped under the waves a moment later.